One of the commonest places for cancer to spread to is the liver, and one of the main limitations of the chemotherapy that might treat so-called liver metastases is toxicity. A cancer surgeon in the United States has been trying to solve that problem by isolating the liver and treating it alone with incredibly high doses of chemo. Richard Alexander is professor of surgery at the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore.
We were interested in developing therapies that could be directed to the liver for individuals who had diffuse metastases from various different types of cancers. You know, it happens frequently in colon cancer, and although less frequently, it happens in melanoma as well.
And why is that? Is it because it's just this vacuum cleaner that cleans up the blood and cancer cells lodge there?
You know, the exact mechanisms is really not known. For the gastrointestinal cancers, it's presumed to be because most of the venous blood flow from the intestines goes through the liver and it acts as a giant filter.
Doesn't explain melanoma, though.
No, it does not. And it's very curious because if you think about it, these tumor cells are probably circulating through the blood system and going through every organ. But for reasons that we don't understand, they tend to find the liver very fertile soil to grow. And in many individuals who develop hematogenous metastases from melanoma,
traveling via the blood.
Via the blood, the liver will be the sole or main site of spread.
And is this all melanomas?
The ones that have the highest propensity for spread directly to the liver are those that arise in the eye, the ocular melanomas.
They're not a very common melanoma.
It's a small percentage of all melanomas, but when they spread, almost 80% of the time, they spread exclusively to the liver.
Now, increasingly, people such as yourself have been operating on the liver. When you've only had one or two secondary cancers, metastases, going in and actually removing those secondaries or parts of the liver to a varying extent. Why think about chemotherapy when you can remove the individual tumors?
In the case of melanoma, it is very rare that, in fact, one encounters just one or two tumors in the liver. In fact, it's more common that you see literally hundreds of small tumors diffusely present in the liver. And so for individuals with melanoma, I think the role of surgical excision is really very limited.
So what's the background? Because people have tried in the past to, if you like, regionalize chemotherapy, thinking, why give it to the rest of the body and cause all this toxicity? Why not just hit the tumor really hard locally? It's been a mixed story so far, hasn't it?
Well, it is a mixed story. I will tell you that the liver is one of the organs in the body that really lends itself to a regional treatment, and that's because it has a very unique blood flow. There are two main blood vessels that actually feed blood into the liver. One is an artery and one is a vein. We know from years of experience that tumors derive their blood from the arterial system. So by selectively giving chemotherapy directly into the artery that feeds the liver, you can preferentially deliver chemotherapy to tumors. When I was at the NIH, we basically made some refinements in a technique called isolated liver perfusion. It was a major operative procedure in which we prepared the liver and we hooked it to a heart-lung machine so that when the heart-lung machine was turned on, although the liver was physically still connected to the body, we controlled the blood flow in and out of the liver entirely, and we were able to deliver very high doses of chemotherapy directly to the liver, which resulted in an intensity of treatment that you could never achieve by giving chemotherapy intravenously. One of the groups of patients that we found who did very well with this were those who had melanoma metastases to the liver.
The reason the patients survived the high-dose chemo was that the outflow was diverted away from the body by the heart-lung machine. But this was a big and risky procedure. What Professor Alexander and his colleagues are working on is a set of balloon catheters that can be threaded up from the groin where the blood leaving the liver, laden with chemo, is filtered to remove the drug before being returned to the person.
We had tried that in a small number of patients and found that the results were far better than any other treatment for liver metastases from melanoma that had ever been described.
How good?
Over 50% of everyone we treated had a significant reduction in their tumors, and we were treating people who had very advanced cancers in general.
Did you improve their survival?
Well, that was the question. We reasoned that the liver was a critical organ to sustain life, and obviously if it failed to work normally, then people could not survive. By controlling tumors in the liver, we presumed that we were able to help them live longer and with a better quality of life. The duration of the benefits that we saw sometimes went well beyond a year. And keep in mind that historically, when people develop liver metastases from melanoma, their survival is measured in months. To use an American baseball term, it wasn't a home run, but it was a stand-up double.
And now, when you've looked at it more closely?
Well, we designed a definitive trial.
And what did you find?
The response rates were consistent with what we saw initially. The primary endpoint of the study was really just how long we could control the growth of tumors in the liver. And in fact, on average, that number was greater than 9 months. So we had really done very well compared to the standard treatment group who had disease progression in the liver typically within 2 to 3 months. So there was a big difference between the groups.
Repeat treatments, is that possible?
It is definitely possible. And in fact, in some individuals who appeared to be suited for that, we did offer and in a few cases did give repeat treatments. And in fact, what we found was that there was nothing inherently resistant about these tumors. And so on retreatment, most people had a second benefit.
Is this an expensive procedure?
I can't answer that in the detail that I would like. It's an extremely important question, but I will tell you that it surprises me to learn that a course of combination chemotherapy for colon cancer may cost well over $100,000. Bevacizumab, which attacks the blood vessels of a tumor, can run in the tens of thousands of dollars. I don't think that this treatment is going to be out of line with what we normally spend on individuals with advanced cancer.
So what about colon cancer that spread to the liver or other tumors that have spread to the liver?
This is a group that I think is ideally suited for a regional therapy to the liver, and that's going to be the next area that I would like to develop with respect to percutaneous hepatic perfusion.
And I should just record a financial disclaimer here. Presumably there's no conflict of interest here.
Norman, thank you for asking. You know, I have always guarded my role as an investigator. I have absolutely no interest in this company, either through stock. I have never received a penny from them for anything that I have done. My main motivation for this, frankly, is a somewhat selfish one. I can't think of anything more gratifying than taking a technology that had been virtually abandoned, applying it to a very significant unmet clinical need, and seeing it tested and then approved as a new standard of care. It's extremely gratifying to see that happen.
Richard Alexander is Professor of Surgery at the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore. I'm Norman Swan, and you've been listening to The Health Report. You can hear The Health Report 3 times each week. 8:30 on Monday mornings, 12:30 on Tuesday mornings, and it's also on ABC News Radio on Saturday mornings, and that's at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. 11:30 Eastern Time on ABC News Radio. Shortened version of the program, but you'll get to hear most of it. And if you want to hear all of it, you can go to our website, abc.net.au/rn/health report. And when you go there, you can download a podcast. You can automate the download of the podcasts. You can just audio stream it if you don't want to download anything. And you can read transcripts, which go back many years, and we usually put our references to our stories in those transcripts. But don't go there just yet, because here on ABC Radio National, there's still some great listening.